Well, good morning. It's good to hang out with you. Thank you for inviting us and to pray with you, to cry with you, to grieve with you. I feel like the Lord has given me a word for this place, and it's one of those kind of catchwords that Andy had, you know, that he shared, that other people came in. And as we've been praying for you at Harvest, because we have a prayer furnace at Harvest, and we've been praying for you regularly, you know, because we're family, and when one grieves, we all grieve. And so we're hurting with you, and we're just praying a lot, and we're going to continue to pray for you. And as I was praying for you, the Lord kept giving me a word of encouragement, and the word was, I kept hearing over and over, take your feet off the rug. Have you ever had, I'm going to back up a little bit. Have you heard of this expression where I just feel like the rug's been pulled out right from under me? Have you ever heard that? Do you feel like that right now? Where, boom, and you're just bang. And what I heard the Lord say is, take your feet off the rug and put it on the rock. And you're going to survive. And I experienced this personally after my husband died, about a little over a year and a half, close to 2 years. And we deeply loved each other, and we loved our kids together, and we ministered for a whole lot of years together. And so when he died, I wonder, how am I going to survive this? But I realized after he died that all the years that I had spent in the secret place of prayer, my feet were on the rock and not on the rug. And that is the only way I survived my loss. And so I want to encourage you as a church, take your feet off the rug and put them on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because lives deeply rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, churches deeply rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, will never be uprooted. This is an opportunity for you not to go down, but to go higher and deeper. And since my husband died and I've experienced deep loss, and I'm still crying over it from time to time, last Christmas was harder than the first Christmas when I lost him, but I so belong to Jesus that my life, I'm not going to be taken out by loss, because Jesus is my life. And Jesus is the life in this place. And so keep your feet on the rock. And it was really cool because in our prayer time with the leadership team, it was really neat. Andy had this word that we prayed into, and it was Psalm 62, where it says, for God alone my soul awaits in silence, and from him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. I was shaken when my husband died, but not greatly shaken to the point of being taken out. And then later on in verse 6, it says, he only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. When your knees feel like buckling and you feel like bawling and you're on your face and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, you have fallen on the rock and you're not going to be swept away by this. And I love verse 8 where it says, trust in the Lord at all times. Isn't that amazing? And it says, pour out your heart before God. And that's just what I had to do in my loss and my grief. I just poured out my heart to him. Alone in the secret place of total honesty, vulnerability, and safety. And boy, before I was done with my prayer, the comfort came. And sometimes within a half a day, the answers came. And I learned through my process of grieving and loss, God is a God of detail. Something that Andy just shared, well, David came just at the right time. We came just in this weekend because God knows what you're going through, and he's a God of detail, and he's going to take care of everything. God is so wonderful when we go through seasons of loss and seasons of grief. He's such an amazing God. And so I'm not going to yip at you too much. What I want to do is read some scriptures this morning. And then what we're going to do in those scriptures is call up the team, and I'm going to start praying into some of those scriptures. And as I pray into some of those scriptures that are going to help us take our feet off the carpet or off the rug and on the rock, the team will come up and help me pray into these things. Because I really believe that this is the word of the Lord for us. Because I even prayed in pre-service prayer, the Lord is not going to allow this to take you down, but higher and up higher. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Now, that sounds like a really good vineyard meeting where you have prophecy, you have signs, you have wonders, you have deliverances. But this is the Lord's response. And he said, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And in another translation, it calls us evildoers. And I go, what's with this? I never could figure out. But what the Lord is asking us to do is to go really, really deep in Jesus. And what we have a tendency to do in our churches, in our ministries, is to put the cart before the horse. And the cart's full of gifts, it's full of justice, it's full of gift ministries, it's full of this, it's full of that. But if Jesus isn't pulling the cart, we're in big trouble. Who's got to pull the cart? You and me. And we're for sure going to take it in the wrong direction because we're not following and doing what the Father is calling us to do. And so it's really important. What does Jesus want from us right now? He wants you. He wants you. He wants to love you. He wants you to be in his presence because he wants to be in your face. He wants to talk to you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to pour out fresh wisdom. He wants to pour out fresh vision. In the presence of Jesus, your wounds are healed. Every time I have a horrible day, I just take the day off and say, I got to be with Jesus. Or I'm just going to be a mess at the end of the day. And by the end of the day, I am so strong in the Lord. What did David do when he encountered all sorts of awful, awful stuff? He strengthened himself in the Lord. Rugs are people. And you know, as leaders, we're going to mess up. But Jesus will never mess up. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never betray you. He'll never disappoint you. He'll always love you. He'll always be here. He always has the answer for you. So if you put your feet on the rock, man, you're going to take off. You are going to take off. And I know it from experiences because my life has been riddled with suffering. And not one instance, whether it's a critical disease, feeling like I'm on my deathbed, whether it's marriage problems, whether it's financial problems, whether it's church problems, ministry problems, man, I'm still standing because we're on the rock. We're on the rock. And he's, yes, yes. And we're not going down. Church, we are not going down because Jesus isn't down. He's seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And where are you? You're seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what's true of Jesus is true of you. Does it make the grieving journey any easier? No, you got to walk through it. But I love what it says in Psalm 23, where it says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I will fear no evil. Because I was scared when I went through my grieving journey that I was going to go into deep depression. I felt myself sinking into this pit, and I said, God, I'm afraid if I go into this pit, I'll never get out. And then Jesus kept telling me, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of darkness, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I'm not going to let you go down in that pit in a place where you can never get out. Because Jesus is the rock. He's the foundation. He'll buoy you up. He's that donut in a sea that's turbulent. where you'll literally feel like you're going under, but you won't. Even when you see a tsunami wave coming of grief, he will buoy you up through it all. So I love this scripture. It's so close to my heart. And reading further into that scripture, it says, everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and it beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the foolish man, will be like everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was its fall. So we have a decision to make. Are you going to build your house on the sand? Or are you going to build your house on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the temptation right now is, the important thing is to feed your personal spirit. Build up your personal spirit in prayer and the presence of God. The presence of God is a glorious, glorious place. And that's how you establish yourself in that intimate friendship and relationship with Jesus, is to feed your own personal spirit. I want to show you something. Jeff, will you help me here a bit? And team, come on up, because we're going to flow into some prayer. And there's a plant over here. You're all created, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, you're created spirit, soul, and body. It says that I will sanctify you or make you holy in spirit, soul, and body. And I am faithful, and I will surely do it. And so you have a spirit man. And in your spirit man, that's the place where you have the ability to hear from God. And so how do we put our feet on the rock? But we feed our personal spirit to make it really strong. You feed your body, right? You eat so you have strength to go on, correct? And then you have to work on your physical body and do exercises to keep it healthy. Well, you have to do the same thing to your own personal spirit. You have to feed it with all sorts of wonderful things in order to keep it healthy. Now, this plant is a picture of a person's personal spirit. I'm going to call it a spirit plant. And it's a picture of a person who does not feed their spirit. And look at it. It looks pretty darn bad. And it looks really bad. It still has the root system, and I'm sure if you gave it some tender, loving care, it would grow up again. So this is a person who is not feeding their personal spirit, and we call it a slumbering spirit. Pain and suffering and sorrow, busyness, iPhones, getting, you know, too busy in your relationship with Jesus, and you're not feeding your personal spirit, your spirit's going to look like this. And you have a corporate spirit as a church, so you have to feed your corporate spirit as well. But this is a plant that's been poured into. Now, what does a plant need to keep it healthy? It needs just the amount, right amount of light. And the Bible says that Jesus is the light and the light of life. And so when you feed your spirit with his presence, his glorious light in the secret place of prayer and in the corporate place of prayer, you get just the right amount of light to become a very healthy plant. So a plant needs light. The second thing a plant needs is fertilizer. You need to fertilize the plant so you don't end up looking like this. And how do you fertilize your plant so you can be strong and standing on the rock? Well, you fertilize it with the Word of God. Keep your nose in the book. Amen. Keep your nose in the book. I read my Bible every day. And every day, I get to hear from the Lord. You want a prophetic word tomorrow? Well, open your Bible, and the Lord will start to speak to you. And the fertilizer for this beautiful spirit plant will bring and pour new life. God does everything by his word. He created by his word. He casts out demons. He heals by his word. He brings new life into us through his word. And so we fertilize our spirit plant through the word. So we got light. We got fertilizer. Don't forget about the water, folks. Water's really important or you're going to look like this. And so how do we water this plant? We water this plant with lots and lots of prayer. Prayer with tears, prayer with joy. And prayer, folks, is more than just intercession. Prayer is soaking in the presence of God. Prayer is silence, peace. Prayer is waiting on him to hear his voice. Prayer is repentance. We do a lot of repentance because that clips off all the dead stuff off my plant so that new growth can come. Prayers of and forgiveness. Oh, prayers of forgiveness also trim off bitterness, anger, heartache. It just trims it off so new growth can come. Prayers of worship, what we did today. It just has a way of ministering new life, washing off all the defilement and the sorrow. So every morning when I get out of bed, the first thing I do in my room is put on worship music. And I shower, I get dressed, you know, put on all that crap on your face, you know, whatever it is. And I worship. And that totally sets my day. I said, God, I'm in your presence. I'm in your presence. Holy Spirit, take control of my day and let happen what needs to happen today. Take me in your word and in prayer where I need to go. So which plant do you choose? You want to look like this one as a church and as individuals, or do you want to look like that one? Yes. Yes. So the secret and the word is get your feet off the rug, put your feet on the rock, and feed your spirit well. And don't get all hung up on the gifts and the ministries and stuff. Root and ground your life deeply, deeply in relationship with Jesus. Because, you know, when you focus and you send and you bring yourself into the presence of God, gifts and ministry flows. It's not my focus. Justice is not my focus. But I'm bringing people to the Lord. I have prayer opportunities on the street all the time because we become a walking prayer, a walking presence of God. And wherever we go, we bring light, we bring truth, we bring healing, we bring Jesus. But you got to put your feet on that solid foundation and the rug will never be pulled out from you again. It is amazing. And, you know, I'm old enough to say I've had a lot of life experiences, a lot of hard stuff. And I'm so thankful because of Jesus, I'm still standing. I'm still believing. And the enemy hasn't taken me out. So that's what I'm inviting you to. I'm going to ask the Lord to come and do a paradigm shift. Do a paradigm shift in our church that we go off the rug and onto the rock. Go deep, deep, deep in your intimate relationship with Jesus. And you know, a church is only as strong. You notice that this church has a lot of bricks. And I was reading this morning in a devotional, if I can find the scripture, it was about living stones. And each of you is a stone upon stone upon stone. And if each individual stone doesn't become a living stone because you feed your spirit, you live in the spirit. I pray every day, God, I want to live in the spirit. I don't want to live in my emotions. I don't want to live in my flesh. I want to live in the spirit. And if each and every little stone here in the room does that, when you come together, you have a solid, solid structure. Because it's not about leadership doing something for you. It's about living stone upon living stone upon living stone. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow. Let's be living stones standing on the rock. So we're going to pray. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. I have no idea what we're going to pray or what's going to happen, but that's what we like to do. We're not in charge. God is. Amen. And it's cool what he does. So Holy Spirit, we just give you this time of prayer. Lord Jesus, do whatever you want to do. We just get out of the way. Because apart from you, according to John 15, we can do nothing. Holy Spirit, come, you're the counselor of truth. You lead us into all truth. Show us how to pray. Just release the prayers that are on the heart of Jesus. Release the words. Now we wait. We're not going to rush in. We're just going to wait and see what. And if you have a prayer, we welcome you to come up and join us.
The Lord, please release a revelation here right now that you are the rock upon which this church is built. Release that revelation now into our spirits, to our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we can actually begin to see that you are the rock upon which this church is built. Reveal it to us, Lord. Show it to us, Lord. Move it far from information into revelation, into our hearts. Lord Jesus, show us that this church is not built on people. Show us, Lord, this church is not built on leaders. This church is not built on programs. This church is not built on social justice. Show us, Lord, this church is not just built on manifestations of the kingdom of God. Show us, Lord, that this church is built on the rock. And Lord, you said, upon this rock I will build my church. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we just say yes to Jesus. Lord. We see you, Lord. Jesus, as the rock upon which this church is built. You are the foundation, Jesus Christ, the solid foundation. There is nothing more solid, Jesus, than you. And you are the foundation of this church. Show it to us, Lord. Reveal it to us by your Spirit. You say, Lord, in your word, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we come against the gates of hell, Lord, as the gates of hell are trying their best to try to come against this church. God, we say that they will not prevail, Lord. You are the overcoming rock. You are the rock, God, that has provided victory for all of your people. And you are the reason the church is here. And Father, we take our stand. The gates of hell will not prevail in this place. We declare it, Lord, we join our faith together with you, God, and we say you will have no, Satan and his darkness will not have any victory here. We say that. We believe that. We know it's true because you made it true, Lord. Yes, this Lord. Is the rock speaking. The gates of hell cannot prevail against this place. So, Father, while we're hurting and reeling from some of the effects of sin, we just know that these things will not stop this church from growing, from being effective, from being fruitful in your kingdom. We say yes. We thank you, Lord Jesus. So reveal this to us in your name.
Father, I thank you that this is your church. And anywhere where we have taken ownership, anywhere where we have touched the ownership or the title, I ask, Lord, that we would release, we would release what we have spoken or had in our heart motive. Anywhere we have contended in the spirit about ownership of your church, I ask forgiveness, Lord. I say, forgive us, Lord. Your church. Your church. The gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And Lord, we release. I ask, Lord, that we would release all contending for that ownership. Where we have told you what to do, or we want to tell you what to do, or we thought we knew. Ask forgiveness, Father, for our murmuring and our grumbling. And Lord, we bow humbly before you and say, Lord, you take ownership of your church. We release the full title to you. We touch not your church. We touch not your glory. And Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit that you would give us a kingdom mentality.
Yes, Lord.
I ask to renew our mind by the power and the truth in your word. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, your kingdom. Your will be done. Not my will. Mm-hmm. Your desire. Your first intent. Your fulfill your desire in this place. And it's like the elders threw their crowns down, and anything to do with titles. I ask that all that heady stuff, all that stuff, Lord, that works against kingdom mentality be cast down in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we know that we cannot accomplish this. No human can accomplish this. But you have said the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. It's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord. So we invite your Holy Spirit to do it. Lord, do that shift. Do that shift off the rug and onto the rock. Lord, what we carry at Harvest, we just leave here. Lord, that just that love for the secret place of prayer, love for the presence of God. Lord, it's the only thing that keeps our heads screwed on right most of the time. And thank you for all the course corrections when our head gets spinny. So, Lord, we just release that over this church, that secret place of prayer that's comforting, that's healing, that's restoring, that's full of wisdom and revelation and hope and promise. Just release it in this place. We just call forth the prayer, the friendship with God. Prayer isn't, it's first and foremost about friendship with God. It's not about intercession and all that other stuff. And it's about friendship and relationship. How do you have a deep relationship with your wife or your husband? You spend time with them. You love up on each other. You have date nights. Well, we can do that with the Lord. I do that with the Lord. And it's wonderful. So, Lord, we just release that over you in the name of Jesus. That deep, intimate place with God. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the river flows out of the temple according to Ezekiel 47. And the presence and power of God will just begin to flow out on the street and to the nations. But it will be in Jesus Christ. It'll be in that intimate, I know you guys. He's not going to say, hey, I never knew you. But he'll say, I know you. So Lord, take us. Do that shift.
When Ruth said, put on that face crap, the first word I heard was exfoliate. Yeah. And I was just thinking about before we can shift or have that paradigm shift, we have to slough things off. And so I'm just going to pray that.
Yeah. Go for it, girl.
This has been a really tough season for us, oh God. And we need to rejuvenate. We need to slough some things off. And one of the things that I was thinking about that we need to slough off is, would you give us some headspace back? Our heads have been so preoccupied with so many things. You know what that is. So I ask for a return of headspace for that time that we can pray, for that time that we can worship, for that time that we can build relationships and actually see each other through generous eyes, hospitable eyes. Would you just slough off worry? Thank you for all of the work that the board has done in caring for us. And there's some hard things, but would you just place hope in us and help us not to worry so much so that we could have more concentrated time with you? And would you just slough off some fears that we're having one towards one another? Even like with talking about tender things before this latest and how we might approach each other a little bit fearfully and worried about what others think of us and some relationships might be broken. Would you slough that off?
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And would you just put some like lotion on us so that we can move back towards one another and not be looking over our shoulders. Like Ruth said, we need a corporate strength. We ask for corporate strength here. We ask for corporate tenderness, corporate trust, where trust has been broken, where we're making comments out of mistrust, where we're making comments out of, arrogance and pride. Would you just slough that off and help us to see each other's hearts and humanity? Help us to be super, super kind. Forgive me for saying things and judging and just saying stupid crap. Maybe for entertainment's sake, I don't know. But just to help us to be kind and generous and worried and concerned in such an authentic way. And where we're not authentic, because we got huge places, just touch us, Holy Spirit, so that something can be sloughed off there too. Give us energy, Father, to help. Help us to be caregivers. Help us to see the needs and to be communicators. Like Andy said, increase our communication. Slough off silence and slough off vows. Would you break and slough off vows?
Yes, Lord.
Where we've said, I won't be doing that anymore. We won't be, you know, whatever. Whatever the vow, silent, little, quiet vows.
Yes.
Would you slough it off? Renew, nourish, rejuvenate, restore, replace, add to.
When we talk about coming into the secret place with the Lord and drawing close to Him, I believe that the encouragement that I have is just remembering the words from Scripture that we can love Him because He first loved us. That we are, all we are doing is giving a response of worship, a response of closeness, a response to His invitation. This is His initiative, not ours. This is nothing that we can perform. This is nothing that we can do for Him. If we have that in our mind, it's not going to go very far. This is, but if we respond to His invitation and we give back to Him what He's already given us, this is where we can draw close. This is where He draws near to us, we draw near to Him. So I encourage you to receive from Him, first and foremost, His love for you. And out of that love, respond to Him. Respond to Him in faith. So, Lord, I just pray that right now that this church could have a fresh revelation, every single person here, a fresh and deep revelation of Your deep, deep, deep love. Your deep love for each and every one of us. And Lord, out of that love, let it flow. Let that relationship flow. I want to encourage you here that this team is here partly by some initiative taken by the regional leadership team for the Prairie region of the Vineyard Churches, Prairies and Territories, and the entire region, that whole section of your Vineyard family sent us here out of love. You are loved. You are loved. Let that be a label over this church, right next to your sign. You are loved. Receive that love, not only from your fellow brothers and sisters, but right straight from your Heavenly Father. You are loved. You are cared for. I just want to pray something over you from Ephesians chapter 3, a prayer that came out during some of our prayer times over some of your leaders, and I just want to release this corporately over you. The Apostle Paul prays, he says, I pray that according to the riches of His glory, just point a little something out, that's pretty big, according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. And I pray that you have the power to comprehend. This is going to take God's power to comprehend this. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the height? What is the depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Because that is His purpose and His intent for you, that He may fill you with all the fullness of God. So let it come, Lord. Let it come. Strengthen us in our inner beings that we may know Your love. Let all that we do to engage You be a response to that invitation.
I think a really great way to respond to particularly the sloughing off, like, which is there's some repentance there, but there's also just being in God's love and His love lifting us. Like, love covers how many sins? Right. Yeah. So and as a prayer, as like a physical kind of one of those walking prayers, walk up to these tables, and as kind of one of those crunching prayers, you know, crunch that bread and take it in, and Well, first dip it in the juice and drink it. Take it in as a prayer, as a way of coming to the table to receive God's love. Okay? So those tables are just going to be open. If you want to receive prayer for anything, or just want to not go back to your seat and just sit there and just continue, like, if you want to respond somehow in a different way than you typically would, just stay around here, and the team will just be around, and we'll just be praying for people. And but that's just kind of how we're going to end. We're just, you know, and if you got kids upstairs, you're going to need to get them right away. But let's not shift out of that response kind of zone, if you know what I mean.